This is 2012.
With Richard Kingsmill.
Triple J.
Kingsmill with you tonight on 2012. Abby May is here with us. We're going to have a chat to her in just a moment about what she's been up to. She's got a brand new album which she's been working on. We got the first single from it, Carmageddon. You're going to hear that in just a moment. Thought I'd give you a little blast, though, of what she sounded like on her last efforts. Okay, I'd like to welcome onto 2012 this evening, Abby May. Abby May, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Great. I'm really excited by this new song. We're going to hear it in just a moment, but let's catch up and have a chat. The album that you put out last year was a real sort of nice change for you. You had developed from the debut record into something that was a little bit more of a progression. This new song is going one step further, don't you think?
They're quite strikingly different. I think each album that I've made with my, you know, collaborators have always been different, namely because I use different collaborators each time. But this one I made with the same producer that I created Design Desire with. And we both just kind of went on a bit of a trip over the last year where we were sort of, you know, listening to really different music. And, you know, we played rock and roll for a whole year and we played a lot of shows. And I think we just sort of moved on.
Did you get sick of it?
A little bit. You know, I mean, there's other sides to rock and roll, including sort of, you know, lugging all that gear around. But the main, that isn't so much fun. I think the main thing is you do get bored really quickly. And I think if I'm getting bored with any style of music, the audience will get bored as well. So, you know, it's not so much a change in collaborators this time because we've got very similar players and producers the same. But, yeah, just listening to different music and, you know, you would want to progress with each album, I think.
You're talking about Sam Ford, who is the bass player and also is or used to be in a Perth band called The Silence. Mm-hmm. So you and him are working quite closely like you did on the last record.
Yeah, in fact, even more closely. We've become really, you know, he's my best friend as well as my producer and we spend most of our time hanging out. So it's a slightly different relationship to the one that we had when we started making Design Desire. We were relatively new acquaintances then.
What threw you together to begin with?
This is going to sound really strange, but I had a choice between two producers and I couldn't. It was Sam and another chap who shall remain unnamed, and I couldn't make a choice between the two, so I did a strange tarot reading to choose between the two, and I had an interesting... it was just a weird kind of way of divining which one to go to. So that threw us together, a strange other force, perhaps. I'm not sure, but...
That's fascinating. Have you ever used tarot in the past to kind of...
All the time. Yeah,
you really believe in it?
I like things like that. I mean, the way someone described it to me before was it's not so much a, you know, trying to predict the future or anything, but it's more about trying to read yourself even. And if you think about it, like putting your ear, which I don't recommend this to anybody, but putting your ear to a train track and hearing the vibrations coming down the line helps you to understand when and how fast a train is coming at you, you know. You'd want to time that pretty well. But, I don't consider it to be this kind of hokey-pokey future reading type thing. I see it more as a way to access an intuition that we all have.
Do you practice it yourself or do you get someone else to read it for you?
No, I practice it myself, but I've had other people read it for me. I don't do it so much anymore, but I have occasionally it'll just pop into my head as the only way to work something out. I do all kinds of things like that, including like the I Ching, and, you know, they're just interesting ways of kind of maybe accessing another part of yourself when you're making choices. And it's funny as well because my parents are Catholics and my dad gave me a tarot card deck for Christmas about 10 years ago. So they sort of don't see it as anything particularly satanic or occult. They're more kind of interested in a Jungian fashion. You know, I believe it's an interesting way to access your psyche and your, I guess, without sounding too much of a hippie douchebag, you know, your internal vibrations. There's a lot of stuff like that that can help you make choices
Yeah, but still, those things don't really seem to me as an outsider to go hand in hand with Catholicism.
No, not at all. But I think that, you know, a lot of, particularly my parents' style of Catholicism is more an intellectual understanding of it as a code of ethics rather than looking at things without understanding them and judging them, which I know is often associated with religious nuts. But thankfully I wasn't raised by religious nuts. I was raised by fairly open-minded, you know, intellectual Catholics, which is interesting.
So less restrictive, more freedom.
More freedom and, you know, not averse to giving a kid a pack of tarot cards for Christmas.
Well, they can't blame anyone but themselves, really,
no,
can they?
No, I've told them that many times.
For all the decisions in your life, they're to blame.
Them and the tarot cards.
Absolutely. Well, it seems to have worked, Sam, and you are generating great work. Let's hear this new song right now and we'll come back and chat a little bit more. Abby May is with us this evening on Triple J. This is great. This is the brand new track. We only got it this week. We've played it a hell of a lot of times over the last 7 days and you might have heard it. If not, here it is again. This new track from Abby is called Carmageddon. So, correct me if I'm wrong, is there any guitar on that track at all, Abby?
There is actually. You hear the intro, you'll hear the guitar quite prominently because it's the only track there. So the guitar runs throughout the chorus, but it's a clear guitar as opposed and a one-note riff as opposed to a distorted power chord. Hell riff.
Well, when we started playing it earlier this week, fans of yours were kind of going, where's the guitars?
I thought
what's Abby doing? do you think fans are going to adjust okay to the new sound?
I think we might lose a few people, but you can't make music to please people because you just won't. So I think
you
we might lose a few
people. You mean
people.
You can't predict it beforehand?
Well, why would you want to, you know? I think the only way to really make a good album is to make music that you think is cool and that you like. And I couldn't make another Design Desire because I don't really listen to guitar music. I don't even play guitar anymore. I got that sort of bored of it. So, and that would really just translate in a new album. The album would be crap if I tried to follow some kind of formula just because people seem to like it before.
Yes. You know? So what are you mentioned before we heard Carmageddon, that is Abby May's new song, by the way. Abby's with us tonight on Triple J. You mentioned before that Sam and you are listening to all sorts of different stuff now. Give us some examples. What sort of music are you listening to?
We really like, what's that track? It was the Super Rich Kids. It's a bit
Frank Ocean.
Tight. Frank, we're really into stuff like that at the moment, Frank Ocean.
And
obviously we did the Big Day Out tour earlier this year and we're completely blown away by the sort of epic nature and, you know, of Kanye West's headline set. He was absolutely amazing. And I also got into a lot more sort of my kind of roots as a child. We used to hear a lot of Portishead and Massive Attack and, you know, I returned to a lot of the things that I hadn't listened to for about 5 years in that more kind of moody electronic realm. And we sort of coupled that with, urban hip-hop quite style beats. because, you know, we were trying to go as far away from where we'd been before, but also it's what we've been listening to.
So is that going to be a really great indication of what the rest of the new
Absolutely.
Album... So the rest
yeah.
of the new album's going to be very much along this line?
Yeah, this is going to be my most cohesive album so far. I think on every record I've made a fairly sort of diverse album that has, you know, I haven't ever really channeled the influences completely. So you'd have a country song on the last record in Blood River, but then you'd have all this sort of like heavy psych, you know, rock and combined with that, whereas this one is very much a cohesive piece of work.
Okay. The album's title, it's going to be a little while away. We're going to have to wait till April next year before we can hear the rest of the new material.
Might give you a few more singles before then.
Okay. It's going to be called Kiss My Apocalypse, and yeah. that track, Carmageddon, has got a very sort of ominous feel about it. And I kind of hear this sexuality coming out once again in what you're doing. You're kind of very out
Blame
there.
The Catholics.
Blame the Catholics once again.
Catholic parents.
but sort of, what do you say? Is there a statement behind all of this new material for you?
The process behind writing it has been very much the same as every other album. Most songwriters, I think, most artists use their art as a kind of a catharsis. So in order to do that effectively, you have to be honest. And I think that the statement more than anything is that a release of an experience that I had, which was basically I experienced the death of love. And so my linking that with, you know, apocalyptic themes and things is really sort of linking the death of love to that concept of the death of the world. And that notion that we can exist in several worlds and say you perhaps fall or you have your heart broken and it feels like the end of the world. You know, that to me there's some very strong links between that and this notion of any kind of apocalypse.
So with all the material on this record, did you write all of it during the period that you were feeling heartbroken or when you came through it?
You know, I mean, I'm still affected by the experiences I had, just not in such an extreme way. And so what we found is the first half of the album is quite direct and quite aggressive because obviously I was grieving and quite angry. And then, you know, you come to terms with grief and then you start to accept it. And so the second half of the album has turned from, you've got sort of a side A that's really aggressive and, you know, the second half is this kind of slinky sex song soundtrack. So I'm not, you know, I think it's had this great effect in that going through the experience and still existing in it. There's an album that has a kind of a lifespan of its own and a, you know, a body of its own that's not just one dimensional.
I was starting to hear your music in two separate ways, i.e. the Abbey May that performs and writes, separate from the individual that is Abbey May. But what you've just been talking about sort of contradicts that notion, doesn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, I've seen you exploring sides of personality, a little bit like what PJ Harvey does, where you kind of sometimes meet her, an interviewer, and she's the most pleasant, meek and mild person, but then she gets up on stage with a guitar in hand in front of a band and she's this sexual beast that can write about incredible things.
Yeah. If you asked any of my closest friends, that they would be quite, you know, amazed if I behave the way that I do on stage in any kind of private sense. I think there are parts of yourself that perhaps are only meant to be expressed via, you know, music or dancing or something like that. And, you know, perhaps if you didn't do that, you might be that knob doing cartwheels in the party or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a case of finding the right outlet for that kind of energy. And for me, it's on stage and occasionally off stage, but in sort of places I don't care to mention.
And in much smaller doses, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Listen, Abby, great to catch up with you. Really looking forward to hearing more of the new material. You mentioned before that the guitar is playing less a part in your life. Do you think that that'll change? Do you think you'll become, you know, invigorated again by the instrument?
I've got the most beautiful Gibson SG with its gold, you know, detailing and things. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and it is breaking my heart to sort of keep it in the case. But I think for a good long while I probably won't play. It just doesn't feel right. So I'm, you know, moving more into keys and synths and sort of mellotron type sounds, and that feels more natural to me than a guitar right now. So I don't know. I may go back to it. There's no saying never, I guess, with these sorts of things, but certainly not for the next tour. I would probably not be going anywhere near a guitar.
Okay. I feel for that Gibson. I feel that Gibson almost crying as we speak.
Oh, look, it got thrashed. I think it's enjoying the holiday.
Okay. Well, look, if the rest of the record's as good as that single we just heard, then the Gibson can stay in the case just a little bit longer, maybe, for my money anyway. Abby May, all the best. Thanks so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you, Richard.